Thank you. I enjoyed that. It was great to have you come and share with us today. And I think you're going home this afternoon, right?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Well, blessings on one more night in Seattle, and that you get to enjoy yourselves hopefully a little bit this afternoon. And so we're just grateful that you're able to come. And then blessings on your travels as you go home together. I live in a condo here in Seattle, and the condominium board has decided that we all drive too fast, and they're going to put a speed bump in the parking area as we drive out. I hate speed bumps. I hate having to slow down and go over them. But the truth is, it will make us all slow down. It will make us all take that a little bit slower. And you know, life's bumps in the road do the same thing. They cause us to slow down and see what's happening. They cause us to slow down and take stock of how God is present with us in those situations. This week, as you know, administry hit one of those bumps in the road as we were recognized that our finances were down, that we were about $1,500 a month less in income than we had been. And the truth is that that is the result of faithfulness for several of our folks. While we miss them and are glad when they come back to see us like they part of them are today, we also have blessed them in their moving. As we already bore witness to this week, Ernie's house will be put on the market, and he is already settling in at Friends View and getting acclimated to a new place where he can live. He gets three meals a day provided for them instead of wondering whether the cup of soup left in the cupboard is adequate for his dinner, or will he go out, or will this meal get skipped. And so we're grateful for that. In fact, he will be able to get long-term care through the end of his life as a part of being at Friends View. And that's a good thing. We know that Ernie needs to be there, and he will be better for having been moved to that new location. Eric and Carol Ann have done the same thing and moved to Friends View. They're living in an independent apartment, and Carol Ann is still doing the cooking, but they also will be able to get long-term care and are settling into a place of retirement in their lives where they're not as mandated to keep working and doing things. Heath and Kathy have moved to California to live with their son, who has lived in California, in Richfield, California, for some time and has a good job there. And so they've relocated to move and live with him. We're grateful that they're back for a week and are here today. But we also know that that was a wise move for them to move and to be settled in with their son and a place that they can live long term. Arlene and Walt moved to Las Vegas to be close to Arlene's mom. Arlene's mom was failing in health, and Arlene was the only one of the siblings that had good enough health herself to be able to help. Arlene is also a nurse, and as they prayed about it, it was just very clear that they needed to be closer to her mom at this time in her life. And Las Vegas was a long ways away, and so they resettled there. For every one of those people, that move was the right decision. And we bless them in their going. And while we miss them, we know that it was the right thing for them to do. We also lost Audrey to cancer. She passed away in January, and we were sad to lose her and didn't want that to happen. But we know that she's in a place that's free of pain and trouble. So it's a loss to see all of these friends go, and we miss them all. But we're also grateful for their faithfulness over the many years, for the way in which they have come alongside us and supported us and worked all, not only in physical ways among our community, but that they have also been faithful in their giving. And we're grateful for that. And it's easy at this point, as we hit this bump in the road, to wonder and to worry and fret about how we can fix this. What do we need to do? How is it that we're going to change things? But I want to remind us about some of the things that we've learned, to remind us that we've actually been here before. This is not the first time that we've hit a bump in the road, and that God has not left us without way forward. As you know, if you're a part of the email group for the church here, you got a letter from Jan Wood that began this conversation by asking us to experiment, to do God experiments around extra money. Donna bore witness to one of those experiments. I love it, Jan, that when you wrote the letter, you didn't know that Donna's answer was already in the works. And it was fun when she told it at administry to say, I've already got my answer, and to be able to bear witness to that. And I think that there are a number of other experiments, whether it be extra money, doing something that you didn't know was going to come your way and have extra money that you can give, or Jan had suggested that we might have a hobby or something that we haven't thought about selling. Maybe you make something or do something that others would have interest in, and you might ask God to show you how you could make a little money at that, and that might be a way that you could bless the church. Or if you haven't been a tither, if you haven't been one that's given regularly to the church, to ask God about that. And you might try an experiment, even just a 6-month experiment, and see how it is that God is at work in your life and what happens, and just kind of explore that. Have a little conversation with God and see how that explores. And she suggested that then we share those stories with each other, which is why I'm so glad that Donna shared her story this morning, to bear witness to the story that unfolded even before it was asked. And I wonder who else has a God experiment story to share, that we might hear those in the next coming weeks as we bear witness to how God is at work among us. Maybe your experiment is a bit different than one that Jan suggested, and you will bear witness to how that unfolded in the story of how you were led to do whatever it is that we haven't heard yet, and that will come around. And we'd love to hear those stories as well. But I want to remind you about some things that we've learned as a community here at North Seattle Friends, that we've faced financial setbacks before, and God has brought us through every time. It was about 13 years ago when we faced one of those times. We, as a congregation, felt puny and like we were not enough. I'm grateful that today we don't feel puny. I don't feel like we're a puny congregation. That God is faithful and present among us in robust ways, and for that I'm grateful. But we did feel puny in those days. And the daycare was leaving, and there was a real sense of loss around that, and a real question about how would the finances work, and we didn't know. We looked at some things like maybe we could rent out space in the building next door, and God closed that door. We wondered what way forward would be. I came to the end of my resources one Sunday morning when I didn't take care of myself and get the kind of rest that I needed, and I bottomed out on Saturday afternoon, and I came to church on Sunday without much to give. I had a message in my pocket, but it wasn't one from God. It was simply one I'd scrounged together. You were really gracious, and you sent me away for a week, told me to take my tent trailer and go and spend some time alone with God, and you picked up all the pieces while I was gone. Even some things that I had overcommitted the church to, some things that really weren't wise because I was in this, we can do it all. We can muster up the energy. And yet you picked up those pieces because I had made those commitments. It was an incredible time away. When I was in worship that Sunday and I bore witness to the fact that I was pretty wiped out and exhausted, and simply read from Romans 8 about what God does when we get to the end of our resources and that God is there for us. And so when I went away and took my tent trailer, I went through Romans 8. I went to Staircase it's a park in Olympic National Park with my tent trailer and my dog, and spent time just reading Romans 8 through the Message Bible and letting it kind of soak into me. One of the things that I was really struck by as I read through Romans, all of Romans, was the story of Abraham and Sarah, and how it took 25 years for God to answer the promise that he had given to Abraham that he would have heirs, as many as there are stars in the sky. And I could just see Abraham saying, I was thinking we could maybe start with one. And yet it took 25 years for Isaac to be born. Now, I knew that story very, very well, but I had never before sat with what it would feel like to wait 25 years, to receive a promise and wait 25 years. And the things that Abraham and Sarah tried in the interim were not God's way. What would it feel like to wait 25 years? That's a long time. And then I asked the question, what did God want of them in those 25 years? What were they supposed to do? And the clear answer came back that all God wanted was for them to be faithful. They didn't have to fix it. They didn't have to muster up some magic answer. They simply needed to be faithful. Faithful day in, day out, to the next thing that was in front of them. And I realized that that's what God wants of us, is to simply be faithful. To be faithful to God's presence in our life, to the next thing that God asks us to do. We don't have to fix the whole blooming thing. We just have to be faithful to the little nudge that comes, to the next step, to the piece that is mine to do. That was a huge relief to be able to recognize that I simply had to be faithful. You know, God never asked for success as the world defines it. God never says you have to be perfect and figure it out and do it this way. God simply says, be faithful, and I will show you the next step. The next thing we learned is to start by telling truth within the context of our community. You know, God can't work if we don't tell the truth. If we live in denial, God can't work with denial. We need to be able to tell the truth and to bear witness to that. Which is why AdMinistry has shared that information with you during the week after our meeting, and why we're talking about it this morning. We tell the truth. And then we rest in sturdy trust. Sturdy trust in God and in each other. That we trust one another, that we can do this. That we're in this together. That it isn't mine to fix it or to be judgmental or any of those things. But it's like we lock arms in sturdy trust and say, together we will find way forward. Together God will lead us. We've been here before and God has led us every time. God has never left us bereft. God will not leave us bereft again. We listen together and we discern way forward. It takes all of us to do that as a community. I don't have all the answers. And I am grateful that this is a listening community. A community that trusts God and listens well together. That invites God to speak and to show us and to give us way forward. That is both specific and germane to the particular bump in the road in which we find ourselves, as well as things that are more global and helpful in a larger picture. And so we listen, and together we discern God's way forward for us. We do God experiments and allow God to lead us in new ways. I love that we can do experiments. What about? Let's try it. And then we learned that we are enough now. that we have everything we need now to do everything that God is calling us to do now. We don't have everything we need to do what God is calling us to do a year from now, or 10 years from now, or even next month. But we have everything and everyone that we need to do everything that God is asking us to do today. That's huge. That's huge that we are enough. So often we hear in churches that, well, we just have to pray for more of this to come in. More people, more money, more from the outside. And I want to declare that we are enough. All of us. That's true individually. Every single one of us has everything we need to take the next step in life. God will walk with us. God will help us. God will not leave us alone. It's also true of us as communities, that we band together, and together we have enough. There will be way forward. It may be a third way that we haven't thought of, something new and different. And God is good that way, in that as we come together and listen and pay attention to the nudges and to the individuals that share, we are grateful for way forward to be shared with us. And finally, a lesson that I've learned is that God is not surprised by these bumps in the road. I first learned that one Sunday when all of the musicians couldn't suddenly be here. And I actually got angry. Why? The musicians are supposed to be here, and how dare they have something else that's important to do in their lives? And yet, I couldn't hogtie them. I couldn't say, no, you can't go do, you know. And I realized that God wasn't surprised by that. And if God wasn't surprised by it, then we must be going to be okay. And that it was okay to trust that God would lead. Now, I am not a singer. So I couldn't just muster up music in the absence of our musical leaders. But God is present. And you know, it isn't dependent on having music for us to be able to worship together. And we gather to worship God, not to fulfill a list of expectations. You have to have this or this and this, or it isn't worship. We gather because we're a community of people that love God and gather to listen. And that is way more important than anything else. And so we listen and wait in the presence of God, anticipating that God is going to do incredible things in our midst. Because God is God. I'm going to close by reading to us from Matthew 6 out of the Message Bible. This is a familiar passage in the in other versions, but I particularly like the way it is in the Message Bible. It starts with about the 30th verse. This message doesn't have verses, so I can't tell you. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never seen, don't you think He'll attend to you? Take pride in you. Do His best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting or with life's bump in the road, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way God works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how God works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal and invite God to speak directly to us. This is the heart of worship. The heart of gathering is to listen to God, who is speaking to all of us. And if in the silence you hear a message from God that you are prompted to share, we invite you to ask for the microphone, so that by raising your hand so that it can be brought to you and we can all hear. Let us wait in the presence of God. Let us listen and let us be faithful.